Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Lutheran Inquisitor, examining pressing issues and their ramifications for the Church today. Luther's Small Catechism in Lithuanian is the topic of today's show with your host, Pastor John Ehlers.
We'd like to welcome to the Lutheran Inquisitor, Dr. Ian Christie Miller. Dr. Miller is currently working on a project which is called Catechismusa 2. It is Luther's Small Catechism in the Lithuanian language. Dr. Christie Miller, we'd like to welcome you. Can you tell us a little bit about how you became interested in working with these rare and ancient or medieval or Reformation manuscripts?
Yes, I'd be delighted to do that. Thank you so much for giving myself the chance to be here today. Now, the story goes back to my researches. I was working at the School of Oriental and African Studies. I had a wonderful tutor there who guided me at great personal cost through my researches, which were into the work of a French Franciscan friar called Jean Tenneau. Now, he goes back to the time of Henry VIII in this country. Francis I was the emperor in France, and he wanted to find out about the Jewish Kabbalah. So he said to this monk, find out about it, write it. And the monk did what he was told, and it wasn't good enough, so he had to rewrite it. There is one copy of the original and three known copies of the second one. The best one is in Paris, it's on parchment, and is dated. There's another fine copy, which is in Geneva, and that's on paper, and that's dated. And there's a third one, which is in Nantes, which is also on paper, but not dated, and I needed to find the date for it, to find out which order they came in. And happily, I managed to make a little machine that imaged the watermark in the paper, and that allowed me, with the help of a wonderful man in Oxford called Simmons, who was a specialist in watermarks, to date that manuscript sufficiently, which allowed me to put them in order. Shortly after that, the British government gave me money to have a machine made to do it properly, and I now use that machine, and I have a particular current interest in the Psalms, and why it is that the Psalms are so often the book which is first to be printed in different cultures.
You mentioned a watermark. Can you tell us exactly what a watermark is and how that helps you determine the date of a book or a parchment?
Well, you have to blame us for our use of English, because watermark is not really the best term. We should call it a wire mark. And the reason is this. When paper was made, it was made by hand. It was made by a man, invariably a man, putting his tray, as it were, into a great barrel of sludge, the stuff, as it was called. And that stuff was mashed up rags. He lifted the tray out, and the water drained through wires. And increasingly, those wires would be embellished, sometimes with items of religious significance, sometimes with dates, owner's marks, all sorts of emblems went in. And as the paper dried out, it was thinner where there was wire, where there had been wire. So when you held it up, it was thinner and lighter, and so you could see whatever mark had been left in the tray.
How does that then help you determine the date of the parchment or the book?
Sometimes it's easy, because the date itself would be in the watermark, which means that the paper was made then, and either used then or later, and of course the tray itself may have gone on being used over the years. There are additional helps in that at the end of the day, of course, the tray would be cleaned, and in cleaning it would be damaged, and so the watermark, the wire, might be damaged. And you can see this as you trace through. You see an early paper watermark. The next one has perhaps got some damage on, which proves that it's later manufacture than the first one, and so on.
This book that you are currently working on, the Luther's Small Catechism in Lithuanian, the Catechismusa, and that's a book that's been dated back to 1547. Can you tell us about this and its significance in so many areas?
It's of tremendous significance from a religious point of view, because it shows that the Lutherans were first on the scene in Lithuania to get their works into print. It's of bibliographic interest. One of them is the watermark, which I'd like to talk about a bit more if you'd like me to say something in a moment. It's of cultural interest because there are only two known copies in the world. One is in Turun in Poland, and the other one is in Vilnius. And so these are national Lithuanian treasures. And I was greatly privileged to have access to this book. And there are, I've got a long list of here, people I'd actually like to give thanks. Thank you to you for welcoming us to this time and making these great facilities available. I'd like to thank the Bibliographical Society, who gave me money for the first session of the Catechismusa project. And following up, even bigger thanks to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, because they're funding, you are funding, the second stage, which is the addition of sound to the already existing PDF. And a very heartfelt thank to the young lady who's a very talented musician and singer. Perhaps I'll have a chance to hear her work in a moment. And I think it's remarkable that the Roman Catholic Church are being so cooperative, because they are giving us access to their facilities in London for a Lutheran catechism to be recorded. And there's a fine man called Petras, Reverend Petras Tiveri Jonas. And if he hears that, I hope you'll excuse me, because I'm sure I've pronounced his name incorrectly. But he has made his facilities available to us. And finally, of course, to the people who hold the Vilnius copy of the book, Dr. Maria Prokopchik in Vilnius. And I hope to be going back at some stage to tell them more about the progress that we've been able to make.
We are very grateful to be a part of this wonderful process that you're undertaking. You mentioned the watermark within this booklet. Can you tell us a little bit about that and why that's so important?
Well, I do confess to a vested interest. I find watermarks increasingly absorbing and interesting. Watermarks can tell us sometimes where the paper has come from. For instance, my wife and I went together last year to Stuttgart, and they kindly made available to us there one of the only three known copies of William Tyndale's 1526 New Testament. And by looking at the watermarks in that, I was able to show that the paper was produced and used in the area around Worms rather than the alternative, which was Antwerp. So this was a small use of watermarks to help give evidence as to the provenance of a book. Same thing can be done with dating. Same thing can be done to enhance security or to prove ownership of an item. And backlighting also allows previously unseen data to be revealed.
How does that help, and what difference does that make when you're looking at these manuscripts? And what does that involve?
If you simply take a picture of a book, that's using front lighting. We use that system and back it up, augment it with a light sheet. Now, a light sheet is no thicker than a sheet of cardboard. It's electrically powered, and so when you turn the power on, the light sheet glows, which emits light, which is placed under the page you're interested in. So the light passes through the page and into the camera, and that is as if you were holding that page up to the sunlight. Now, furthermore, now we've got those two images, it's often possible to so combine them, perhaps subtracting one image from another, that you're only left with the information that you want, and you manage to remove information you don't want. Same thing can be done with infrared, and this is even more striking because infrared passes through some sorts of ink. And so, for instance, if you have a printed book and somebody has tried to erase parts of it using ordinary manuscript ink, infrared passes straight through the manuscript ink, and that allows you to see unhindered the printed work.
And using this backlighting technique and frontlighting technique, you were able to discover a watermark which had previously been undiscovered. Is that correct?
Yes, that is absolutely right. The Vilnius copy of the Catechismusa was said to have no watermarks in it. But happily, by using this backlighting imaging and reassembling the whole sheet of paper as originally printed, I need to explain that briefly. It's a small book. It was made by printing 8 pages on one side of a sheet of paper and 8 on the other, and then cutting and folding the paper so that you end up with a small book, but you're able to get a lot of pages on one sheet of paper. Paper was a valuable commodity. However, the disadvantage of that is that the watermark inevitably ends up where it's almost invisible. In this case, it's in the gutter of the book. But by reassembling the pages, putting 8 pages on one side of a Photoshop document and the backlighting pages as well, we're able to reassemble the different parts of the watermark. And in this case, the watermark was shown to be a crown. Now, crowns are a very common watermark, but this one is an uncommon one, and it's been found in very few other places. One of the places is from the same printer, Hans Weinreich, who was working in Königsberg. Now, Weinreich, I happen to know, is also a name that's used in a Jewish community in North America with Lithuanian connections. So there does seem to be a further connection there, but that's one I need to explore.
And thus we have a Luther's small catechism being printed by a German printer, but in Lithuanian. And what did this small catechism of Luther's in 1547, printed in the Lithuanian language, contain? We would expect it to have the Ten Commandments, the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, the section on baptism, absolution, and Lord's Supper. Did it contain all of that, and were there any other sections?
Well, I think I'll have to ask you to read the products to give a full result. The book contains a letter of introduction from the man who wrote the book. Now, his name doesn't appear apparently in the book, but not very long ago, a researcher discovered that the man's name was hidden in the book, M-A-R-T-Y-N and then Masvidias, as the first letters running down one of the pages. So he had the reticence not to put his name in the book, but he managed to do so rather covertly. Now, the book has a lot of instructions about following Luther's catechism. It has, for instance, the Lord's Prayer and the Creed. There are 2 psalms there, and there are 24 pages in the book which have got music annotated to it. And this in itself, of course, is very significant.
The music, is it in all of the sections or just in certain sections?
The music is only on 24 of the pages, and so they tend to occur towards the end of the book.
How are you using this to bring this document to life for us again?
We already have an existing PDF, high-quality images of every page of the book using front and back lighting. Catechismus 2 enters a new era, a new domain, in that we're adding sound. We're adding words, music, and words sung with music. And this will be done in this way. All the pages are available as a PDF, and I shall place on the relevant 24 pages a button. If you click on one button, you get the words. If you play it on the next button, you get the music. And if you click on the third button, you have the music and the words being sung. Now, we have recorded many of these already. We're in the process of integrating them onto the PDF.
And part of this recording process was certainly observed by Dr. Christy Miller's wife, Judy, and Judy is also with us, and we thank you for joining us. Could you tell us about some of your observations and your thoughts regarding the recording process and what's already taken place?
I think the first thing I'd have to say is that when we met Ausreen for the first time, she's very petite and very slim and very slight, and I did wonder whether we would have to turn the volume up enormously when she sang. But the first time that she sang was amazing. This very petite little lady has the most amazing voice, which you will hear shortly. I think that's the first thing that really struck me. And when we had played back the first recording that she'd done, for me, my first impression was, wow, I really want to hear some more. And so I hope that that's what other people will find, that when they've heard the first time, they will think, I need some more. I want to hear some more of that, because it's really beautiful.
Does it matter that it's in the Lithuanian language and not in English?
No, I don't understand a word of what she's singing, and I don't understand a word of what she's saying, but it is very beautiful.
And as Judy has just mentioned, now we'll hear an excerpt sung by the soloist, Ausreena, and it is taken from Catechismus 2, and it is the Lord's Prayer.
Dios,
We thank you, Dr. Christy Miller, for allowing us to have access before anybody else, really, to this wonderful recording. And it strikes me that putting the catechism to music is such a wonderful idea, that it has such ancient roots within Lutheranism, and the importance then of the material and the music, and how that can affect us individually and assembly of believers. Can you tell us how this perhaps has affected you, and how you see this as being quite important as well?
I'm woefully ignorant about things musical. I am increasingly aware that music, as it were, reaches other parts of the soul that are more difficult to reach through other means. And of course, when it's combined with words, it has a very special impact. I know that there is a great deal here that I need to learn and discover and investigate, and I'm sure we all do. You asked if I could take a slightly personal view, and thank you for allowing me to do this. In this book, The Catechismus, there are two psalms, and one of them is Psalm 102, which in the Protestant Hebrew world is Psalm 103, and that's of personal, enormous significance to me, because I was at one time a Royal Air Force pilot, and I had a flying accident, and when I woke up in hospital, some good person had brought my Bible to the bed, and the daily reading for that day was Psalm 103. And the verses there ended with one's strength being renewed like an eagle. Well, this aged eagle is still on the stalks. May not be flying too well, but it's still a restored eagle to some extent. So that psalm is very valuable to me. And of course, I was doubly thrilled to find that this is one of the psalms which is in this 1547 book.
As you continue working through the process of getting this recorded, what is your estimated timetable? And once the project is done, how is it going to be disseminated for folks that would like to hear it?
On a free for all, or so I should say free to all basis. This is one of the conditions of it. And the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod are funding it on this basis. The final results will be available, as I've said, on a free to all basis. And we're hoping that a university either in USA or in the UK will host this, so that anybody with access to the internet will be able to read the whole document. And if they wish to, they'll be able to do more bibliographic research on it. But what I think is especially valuable is that sound will be available on it, which will make the most significant parts of the book much more easily accessible to people who are partially sighted or visually impaired. So the results will be available on the internet. They're available to institutions, and I've already had a response from Turin Library, who have the other copy of the book, saying that they would like to have a full set of the results. So what will happen, for instance, in this case, is that when the project is completed, which will be early next year, early in 2015, that hard drive will be sent by mail to Turin University. They will merely copy all the files onto their own computer and return the hard drive back. And the same process can be repeated to any other institutions that want a copy of the whole results. We plan, we hope, to have a dissemination program running in Vilnius and somewhere in the USA.
So as you're working through this process, what have you found to be, I suppose, personally and professionally, some of the most valuable things that you have learned from this?
One of the most valuable things is a great sense of appreciation that my wife and I have been able to go to some wonderful places and handle some of the world's treasures. One of the obvious discoveries has been that there is this watermark in the paper, which is something that was not known before. So that was of small significance, but it was of value to me to be able to show that this technique can produce results. It is also in line with my general interest in research and dialogue. I think it's so important that we should be able to burrow down into data, into manuscripts, into printed books, and we should be able to have a dialogue. And I think it's wonderful the way that the Lutheran Church and the Roman Catholic Church have been able to work so productively on this. So thank you both.
Now, we will be happy to keep our listeners informed of developments and progress in this production process. But when it is complete, is there a specific place that people can go to find out more information or listen to this if they so choose to do?
My website is called earlybook.info, and I will put news on that. We haven't yet finalized which institution in USA or in UK will host the results. So I suppose it's not quite in order for me to say the name of an institution which will do this.
But if they want more information, you'll keep them up to date on your website.
Yes.
And we will try to do the same here on Lutheran Radio.
That would be a great event. I look forward to being invited back. I hope.
We certainly will, and we look forward to experiencing the end result of this. We thank you for the wonderful work that you are doing. We thank both Dr. Ian Christie Miller and his wife, Judy Christie Miller, for being our guests, and we pray God's richest blessings to you in your work. And we look forward to seeing the end result and the work that you are doing.
Thank you for listening to The Lutheran Inquisitor with Pastor John Ehlers. If you have any questions or comments about the issues raised in this program, send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. The podcast of this show is available from our website. Check our program online and stay tuned.